This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, what's up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright and Todd DeVries here with you for the next 2 hours. Football Nation is all football all the time. There's so much happening around the NFL. Todd, it's going to take a full show to get to it all. I want to start off by discussing the concussion situation that happened in Week 10 with the three different quarterbacks. Three starting quarterbacks went down with a concussion. Jay Cutler, Mike Vick, Alex Smith. And we talked about it a little bit during our fantasy football show on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But now we're getting closer to game time, and we're starting to see something interesting happen, Todd. Well, what do you think about what's happening right now with these three quarterbacks?
Well, if you want to take them one by one, I mean,
sure.
It looks like Alex Smith is starting to practice. Are we correct in that report?
Right. Yes, you are correct.
All right. So it's interesting. He's starting to practice. Jay Cutler hasn't practiced, but they're still not really ruling him out quite yet, right?
Right. Right.
And then with Mike Vick, he's definitely out today or this week for sure, and there's speculation that he might be out for the year.
That right now, that is what people are saying, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, there's kind of three different scenarios, three different concussions, three different teams. Two of the teams have fantasy implications, and then the Eagles are kind of out of it at the moment. So it's interesting to see how these teams are going to treat this.
Yeah, I think playoff implications, you meant to say, right? Not fantasy implications.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Playoff implications. Yeah.
NFL reality.
Yeah.
The reality of the NFL.
Actually, two teams are good and one's bad. How about that?
Right. How about that? There you go. I just think it's really interesting. The NFL is supposed to be cracking down on concussions. All these reports are coming out about how former NFL players have significant brain damage and a lot of illnesses, Alzheimer's and dementia, things of that nature, and they think concussions have a lot to do with it. Now, if the NFL was truly trying to crack down on preventing or truly trying to look out for the players like they say they are, wouldn't they make something mandatory here where if you suffer a concussion 1 week, there's no way you should be able to play the following week?
That's the million-dollar question, Bill. I mean, there's varying levels of concussions. Some say a concussion is a concussion. And, there's different definitions. Different doctors have different takes on it. Different teams have different protocols on it. I know I was reading about the Eagles and the way they handle concussions, apparently, at least the way they publicize it, is that, the concussed player really can't do anything until the headaches are gone. And then from that point on, it's a five-day thing. So even if Mike Vick woke up this morning like incredibly, feeling great, he wouldn't be able to really do anything football, major league football related, for five more days anyway. So different teams, handle it differently. But you're right. There is no mandate per se from the league. Not yet.
Now, are we supposed to believe, are NFL fans out there supposed to buy into the fact that Mike Vick's concussion was so much more significant than Alex Smith and Jay Cutler's that's why Vic's not going to play this week, but Alex Smith and Jay Cutler, well, they're fine. They'll be back in action. Or does it have to do with the fact that the 49ers and Bears are playing this weekend, a Monday Night Football big-time matchup? Both of them are in the running for the number one spot in the NFC for a playoff, for a bye in the playoffs. Does that play into the fact why Alex Smith and Jay Cutler will likely be on the field on Monday?
I'm sure it does to some extent. I mean, again, like I said, the Eagles are out of it. What's the incentive to really throw Mike Vick back in the fire? On top of that, they have a young quarterback that they're going to take a look at, So I think it does factor in a little bit. But, what we don't really know, Bill, is truly, apparently Mike Vick was pretty, basically sick for the next couple of days. He was not well. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a simple case of where he got his quote-unquote bell rung during the game, came off the field, and then, kind of had the cobwebs and kind of felt better in a couple hours. I mean, in Mike Vick's case, he apparently was having headaches and not feeling well for several days. So I don't know what the actual, extent of it was for Alex Smith and Jay Cutler, if it was as bad as that or not. My sense is that it was not. So maybe there's, some medical reason behind it, but yeah, I think you're right that, all in all, I mean, if your team is in it, man, and you got some meaningful games to play, you need your best quarterback out there as soon as possible.
You want to chime in on the concussion debate that we're talking about right now, 508-298-0398 is the number to dial us, or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. Got a lot to discuss today. We'll give you an updated playoff picture in just a bit. The Patriots, obviously, coming off a win against the Buffalo Bills, and now they're going to play the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. We'll dive into that game in just a bit. Plus, we'll spend some time previewing all of the matchups for Week 11, help you with your fantasy football teams, reveal our Football Nation power rankings, plus Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us later on to discuss some pretty interesting games. And
better
by the
slate
way,
of games this – I'm sorry to interrupt. Better slate of games this week, by the way, Bill. Much better slate of games.
There is. Are you happy with the scheduling committee this week?
Yeah, last week really kind of ticked me off. I was really not – just terrible schedule last week. This week we've got a handful of games to sink our teeth into, much more compelling.
It's funny. In Week 10, there was only one game that featured both teams, right,
yep,
with a winning record. And that might have been one of the worst games of the schedule, of the day. That Bears-Texan game, it was pouring. There was a turnover every fourth play.
Cutler
not a lot
out.
Of scoring, a whole lot of defense. Yep. Jay Cutler getting injured. Matt Forte running nowhere. A little bit of Arian Foster excitement. Nothing really from Matt Schaub. J.J. Watt was relatively quiet. So that game actually turned out to be kind of a snoozer.
Yeah, it wasn't what it was built up to be. And once we saw the weather report, we were worried that was what was going to happen. You know, not a lot of excitement to hang your hat on in that game. So hopefully we get some more action this week.
All right, by the way, we want to hear from the Patriots fans. After this week, Patriots-Colts big matchup, will the rivalry between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pats, is it going to be renewed this weekend now that Andrew Luck is taking the place of Peyton Manning? Todd, what do you think about that?
No, too early for that.
Too early?
Yeah. What's the rivalry?
Oh, well, a lot of bad blood between the Colts and the Pats over the years.
Yeah, but the
players most
are
of that
gone.
Had to do with
the Colts
most of that had to do with
gone.
Okay, that's fine. But you still don't have you don't think Patriot fans are a little bit passionate still about beating the Indianapolis Colts just from the last decade?
I'll tell you this. I mean, this game here, this is the old versus the new, right? Obviously, the Andrew Luck regime is in, and he's starting a new era. Now, if the Colts can beat the Patriots, okay, on Sunday, then I think that you might have the makings of a new rivalry, per se. But in order to have a rivalry, Bill, you got to have two good teams, right? Or at least one team that's significantly better than the other that's getting upset, like, by their little brother. You know what I mean?
You don't think the Colts and the Pats are good teams?
I think that they are, but I just think that, you know, this Andrew Luck, there's no animosity yet. There's no games, there's no history behind these two teams with this set of players yet.
But from the franchise perspective, if you're a Patriots fan, last 10 years you're watching Tom Brady and Peyton Manning go at it. Peyton Manning finally leaves. All of a sudden, new kid on the block comes into town, looks great, playing phenomenal, maybe one of the best rookies to play the game yet. That doesn't kind of spark things up a little bit more?
It might. The Patriot fans will have to speak up and let us know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we want to hear from you.
Yeah,
508-298-0398 is the number. Ace Ticket Hotline. Give us a ring.
You got a point there, Bill. Maybe some of them are like, just when we thought the Colts were not a threat anymore, here they come again. That's a possibility. But I think that in order to have a true hatred, true rivalry, it needs to go deeper than that. They're not in the same division. So they don't play each other twice.
They've never been in the same division, though.
Right. But what they were doing is they were meeting up in the playoffs every year, and they were always winning their division. So they'd always meet up every single year, Manning versus Brady during the regular season as well.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like I'm going to guess it might take a little bit of time to get the rivalry renewed with this set of players. We'll see.
All right. So we do want to hear from the Patriot fans about your thoughts, whether or not this game is a rivalry-type game, Colts and Pats going at it week 11. On Sunday. That game's in Foxborough, right? Or at Gillette?
Yes, sir. 4:25 kickoff Eastern time. One of those late games, Bill.
Better late
games. Four clockers.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into that game right now. Quick look how these two teams match up. Kevin, whenever you're ready, pal. We'll wait for you. There you go.
Life is good when you're a Patriots fan. Woo-wee! It's even better when they're winning.
Brady, back to throw. Looks, fires. Caught! Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for Bill and Todd to break down the Pats on Football Nation.
All right, so Patriots offense, let's take a look at how they're doing. Number one in points this year. across the entire NFL, 33 points per game, and they're first in yards, 430 yards they average per game. So clearly their offense, firing on all cylinders, they're seventh best in passing with 284 passing yards per game. And how about their offense, Todd? No one was expecting this at the beginning of the season. Stephen Ridley has certainly been getting things done. Danny Woodhead, contributor as well. The Patriots are fifth in the league for most rushing yards per game. They're averaging 146.
How about it? That's amazing. We really didn't foresee that coming at all. They're getting it done. You know, they're a balanced attack, Bill. They can go. They can lean on the run when they need to, it seems, as well as the pass. So the scoring points is not the problem for the Patriots.
Now, when you look at their defense, how many points are they letting up right now? 22 points per game, which is 16th in the NFL, and they're giving up 382 yards, 25th. They rank 25th for most for yards per game. Now, their passing defense, that's been the big problem, obviously. They're allowing 285 passing yards per game. That's third worst in the NFL, but their rushing defense is top 10, allowing just 96 rushing yards per game.
Yeah, well, that's been the thing all year, since the first couple of games. It's been identified as the problem at pass D, and it hasn't really gotten much better.
Right.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he played pretty well against them again for a second time this year. They put up 31 points on this defense. So we'll see here, Bill. You know, they got the Colts, then the Jets, then the Dolphins before that mega matchup against the Houston Texans. But Aqib Talib, is he the answer? I mean, that's what the Patriot fans are hoping for. Can he shore up that defensive secondary at least a little bit, Bill? I mean, if they could just make this secondary, this pass defense, average, they'd be in good shape. You know what I mean?
Right.
They can't, but they're just terrible right now. They're so bad. If they can just make it average, I mean, they'd be in really good shape for the playoff run.
All right, let's take a look at the Indianapolis Colts, how they're stacking up on offense. We mentioned the Patriots are first in the league with 33 points per game on average. The Colts, they're 22nd in the league with 20 points per game. Not that good in terms of scoring points. But what's funny is they're pretty good when it comes to yards per game. So they're getting a lot of yards, 387 yards per game on average, which is fifth best in the NFL right now, but it doesn't seem like they're getting into the end zone as much as their yardage would indicate.
No, you're right. You know, they're moving the ball into the red zone and they're having to settle. If you look at their last four games, they've won those four in a row. They've scored 17, 19, 23, and 27 points. Kind of throw out that last game against Jacksonville. Just awful. But, you know, if you score 17, 19, and 23 points, Bill, in the NFL, what's your record typically? 1-2?
I would think so.
Yeah, they wound up going 3-0 in those games because of their defense, which we'll get to here in a second. But, you know, they're moving the ball, and I just don't think that they don't really have that dangerous running threat.
No, they
don't. They've got the committee going on with Vic Ballard, Donald Brown, and the like. Andrew Luck is a sneaky good runner. Nobody talks about that, but he can scramble when he needs to.
I believe he leads the team in rushing touchdowns with 5.
I would hope so. I mean, because Donald Brown has 1 and Vic Ballard has 0.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. That is, I'm looking, can that be right? Yeah, it is. They only have 7 rushing touchdowns as a team, and he has 5 of them.
Right, their quarterback.
Carter and Brown each have 1.
Yeah.
That is awful.
Yes, it is.
You know?
But they are 8th best in the league with 277 passing yards per game. So that's clearly the opportunity for the Colts to exploit the Patriots' defense.
Yeah.
You look at the Patriots' secondary, they're giving up 285 passing yards per game, and the Colts are averaging 277 passing yards per game. We know the Colts really can't run the ball, and the Patriots have a pretty good run defense. So that's where the Colts are going to have to try to win this game. And, you know, I'm not breaking any earth-shattering analysis with that statement, but it's true that Andrew Luck will have to win this game if the Colts have a shot.
Yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, I think that the Patriots D, you're going to have to focus on Reggie Wayne. How do you stop Reggie Wayne? The guy has 69 receptions already on the year, 931 yards already. So you got to stop Reggie Wayne first. He's really the only major threat, you know, that they have. And he's kind of been relegated more to a possession type guy, you know, Bill? He's not the deep threat or anything. They got a couple young guys that can do that, T.Y. Hilton being one of them. You got youth at the tight end position. We talked about the running backs. It's really Reggie Wayne. If you can shut him down, you got a pretty good chance to beat this team. But It'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's what everyone's looking at. You got Andrew Luck. The team is in playoff position, and now they face one of the worst pass defenses in the entire league. So it'll be interesting to see if Luck can penetrate that and get some yards, get some points for the team. They're going to have to score some points in this one, Bill, obviously. You know, you got to figure the Patriots are going to score at least in the 20s. You know?
Well,
so I don't
they're
think
averaging 33.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that
and the Colts are only averaging 22.
Yeah. On a bad day, the Patriots are going to score in the 20s. And we just talked about the Colts winning by scoring 17, 19 points. It's going to take more than that. They're going to have to put up some major points. And, you know, maybe the deep threat is going to be the key, Bill. Maybe they can work that short passing game enough and then throw one over the top to T.Y. Hilton, break a big one down the field. It certainly has happened plenty of times against the Patriots so far this year.
Now, we do see that Wes Welker was held out of practice today. That's the second day in a row that Welker was unable to practice.
Yep.
It looks like he can be one of those players that doesn't practice during the week, questionable heading into Sunday, but then he's activated, good to go for the game. Seems like that happens quite a bit.
Yeah, and it also happens that it seems like whenever the Patriots have to endure an injury, unless its name's Tom Brady, they're able to figure it out anyway. You know,
they
got enough weapons around that they can just kind of change the game plan accordingly. I mean, like we just said, they can run the ball if they need to. They got obviously Gronk and Brandon Lloyd and a bunch of other weapons out there. But I agree with you. We have to wait and see on Wes Welker. But I don't know, Bill. I mean, you got a feeling that he's going to probably play. That's my gut feeling, but I guess we have to wait and see. I know there's a lot of panic up there in New England. But, you know, he's one of those gamers, man. You'd think he would play.
Wes Welker, only 6 receptions in each of his last 3 games. We're used to seeing him catch, you know, 9-10 passes a game, but seems to be stuck at that lucky number 6 number.
Yeah.
Not sure if that ankle injury has anything to do with it, though.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I want to see how the Colts try to stop Gronk, personally.
Uh-oh. I mean, Gronk cannot be stopped. He can only hope to be contained, Todd.
Well, you know, the Colts are going to have their hands full here. Again, they've been kind of winning ugly, and they're going to have to be pretty in this one. They're not going to get by. They're not going to win a defensive slugfest, Bill. They're going to have to put up some serious points. So, I don't know. Well, are we going to get some predictions now on this game, or are we going to get some predictions later?
Yeah, let's do our predictions now. Kevin, are you listening out there? Why don't you go first?
I'm going to go – this is a tough – I'm going to go 41-24 Patriots.
Wow. Colts defense that bad, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. 41-24.
Yeah, they cover, I think it's like 9.5.
And Kevin, before we get to our predictions, you know, Bill asked us, you know, is this the rivalry still a heated rivalry between these two teams? You're a diehard Patriots fan as there is. What's your take on the quote-unquote rivalry between these two franchises?
No, I think that pretty much left when Peyton left.
Right, so it needs
to
be rebuilt,
I don't agree with you guys on this one. Why do you say that, Kevin?
I don't know. I just, like, these two teams played here last year, but granted the Colts were awful, but there was just no buzz around it.
Dude, you can't compare last year's Colts.
So,
team.
No, we'll see. Let me get back to you, like, on Sunday at, like, 8 o'clock, and we'll see what the atmosphere's like in here.
Here's what I'm saying. You're playing basketball on your street outside in front of your house. You got a basketball net. There's a kid that lives across the street from you your first 10 years. And you guys go at it pretty hot and heavy every week. Tough matchup.
What is this, a porno, Bill?
No, I shouldn't have said hot and heavy. It's a very intense rivalry. Tough game. Maybe you win some games you played at 10. 10-9. Sometimes he beats you 10-9. All of a sudden, that kid moves. Now you're happy. You know that you're the king of your own court again. You don't have anything to worry about. The next day, some teenager moves in, younger than you are, but he's 6'4". Couple inches taller, maybe a little bit more athletic. There suddenly is not a renewed rivalry with that kid.
I mean, wouldn't you say it's just? Wouldn't you say it's a completely new rivalry altogether?
That's what I'm
saying. No, because it's the same franchise. The same kid is living in that same house.
But I mean, I felt like so much of the rivalry was Peyton versus Brady, and also Polian just saying all that garbage, and now both of them are gone.
Exactly.
Thank you,
Bill,
Todd.
Bill, there are some rivalries in the league that obviously will transcend no matter who the players and coaches are.
When I think Patriots-Colts rivalry, I think back to the, you know, the playoff games in the early to mid-2000s in the snow, and I think of Ty Law going at it with Marvin Harrison, and I don't know. It just doesn't have the same luster to me.
Do the Celtics hate the Knicks?
Yeah,
do the Celtics
I guess.
Do the Celtics hate the Lakers?
Yeah.
Magic Johnson and Larry Bird played how long ago?
Well, I mean, I think
ago?
You could make this argument for Patriots-Jets, no matter how bad the Jets were.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Bill, in this league, there are rivalries, like I just said, that will transcend no matter who the players are. They're going
to
be around forever.
Is it the Bears and the Packers?
Yeah, Eagles-Cowboys.
Eagles-Cowboys.
I'm trying to avoid a divisional rivalry, though, because it's not a divisional game.
Right. But in this case, one team still has the key elements of their team, Belichick, Brady, and the other team doesn't. They're a whole new set of characters. You know, they can rebuild it quickly. I mean, let's say for sake of argument, it's a great game on Sunday.
Right.
Let's say the Colts upset them, okay?
Okay.
And then let's say they meet again in the playoffs, and then, Brady gets his revenge. Now you've got the makings of a rivalry all over again, because you got two games of history, albeit a small amount of history, small sample size. But if you get two great games, maybe there's some jawing back and forth, maybe there's a late hit. You know, who knows what happens, but you got to have something to grasp onto. Right now, as Kevin said, what the Patriots fans are grasping onto, one guy's in Denver, and Pauly, I don't even know where he is anymore. So they're all gone.
ESPN. He's doing ESPN NFL analyst stuff.
Four center.
Right.
Exactly. So, it's there to be had, Bill. So I agree with you there. I mean, it's got the potential, the old versus the new, quarterback-wise, but it's not there yet. They won't be there until get a couple games under their belt.
Let's bring in our friend
Olivier.
So
there you go. What do you think about that? What's your retort to that?
I'm going to ask my friend Olivier what he thinks. I'm going to bring him on the air. He always seems to side with me. Hopefully he's doing the same this week. Olivier, what's going on? Are you hearing our debate about the Colts and the Patriots rivalry?
First of all, can you hear me well? I'm calling you from Brazil.
Come on. You're in Brazil?
I'm in Rio de Janeiro.
Well, that's not the capital of Brazil. Brasilia is the capital of Brazil, my friend.
Very good. Wow.
My memory is like an elephant.
Yes, excellent.
We can hear you, man. What
What
do you think?
I didn't hear what you mentioned about the rivalry. Can you restate the point and I'll chime in?
Of course. Andrew Luck, new quarterback from the Indianapolis Colts, the team that the Patriot fans have hated for the last 10 or 12 years. Is that same feeling, that same passion for disgust, disdain, still alive within the Patriot fans for the Indianapolis Colts, regardless of the fact that Peyton Manning and Bill Polian and whoever else was on that Colts team is no longer really in town?
I believe that rivalry and the negative connotation that it's had for the last, 5, 6, or 7 years is no longer there because it's a new organization, it's a new quarterback. But
thank
I also
you.
Believe that as soon as Luck starts beating us up, and if our secondary sucks egg as they did last week, I think the rivalry will reemerge again.
All right.
There you go.
So
see?
You're with Todd.
You took
on
the words
one.
Right out of my mouth, Bill.
Todd, my boy Olivier is with you on this one. I'm very upset right now. I was expecting Olivier to call in and side with me. No brainer, but seems like he went the opposite way. I'm very disappointed.
You believe that the rivalry still exists? I think to a certain extent it does from the history, but it's different players. Different organization.
But I still, if I'm a Patriot fan, I still hate the team. I hate what they represent. I hate the fact that they're coming into Gillette with the same record and they're fighting us for a playoff spot.
Olivier, Bill is just full of hate today.
I've lost those two games, period.
What's that? You got to repeat it.
I said shame on us for them to come in at Gillette Stadium on 6-3. We should have never lost those two games that we gave away in Seattle, in Arizona, and it's even questionable in Baltimore.
Yep.
So, we are what our records say we are.
That's right. Who famously said that? Bill Parcells, right? You are what your record says you are?
Yeah, but he's
right.
He's right. Some people say, hey, you know what? We could have been 8-0 for 4 points. Well, why didn't we get those 4 points?
That's a pretty good observation.
Right. Yeah, I know.
There you go.
So, Olivier, what are you doing in Brazil? You working down there? You checking out some Brazilian chicks?
I've been with the last 4 days. I had a business trip, and I wanted to call you before I flew out. So I'm going to make this call very quick. But
okay.
I sent some pictures to Kevin. I was today at an event, and I took the PFW journal, and I tried to make some pictures with the local flora. Hopefully people enjoy.
I have no idea what he just said.
You didn't hear? I said I sent some pictures with a bunch of Brazilian folks with the holding the PFW in Progress newspaper.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Very cool.
I love it.
Very cool. I'm going to have to check that out.
I tried to do something a bit creative, but unfortunately, the fauna on the beach was not as colorful as it is usually because it's been raining. But next time I come down there, I'll do some better shots for you guys. I'd appreciate the beauty.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to that.
I think we know what he's talking about, too, with beauty on the beach. There.
I absolutely know what he's talking about.
So, in terms of fantasy, I got crushed last week because I did not listen to you put Flacco and Rivers. I decided to make some changes. I put Matt Shaw and Tannehill, and Tannehill was the appointment. So, here's my deal. I know. Here's my deal. I have two quarterbacks I have to play, and I'm going to give you two choices. Either Luck or Palmer, or Schaub or Sanchez.
Schaub.
Yes.
Sanchez against the...
And between Luck and Palmer, what do you think?
Luck.
Luck.
Love Andrew Luck this week. Sorry, but he's going up against the Patriots. They have one of the league's worst passing defense. And Schaub or Sanchez. Neither of them are very good options, but...
Gotta go Schaub against Jacksonville, Bill.
Yeah, you gotta take Schaub at this point. I mean, the Jets offense, they didn't even score a point last week. They had to rely on their defense or special teams.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Then I have decided to take Steven Jackson for the running back.
Yeah, Steven Jackson's a good play this week.
And Greg Martin.
Yeah, I like both of those guys. I like Steven Jackson playing against the Jets. Had over 100 yards last week against the 49ers. He's looking good. Got into the end zone finally. And then Doug Martin, yeah, he's one of our favorite players. He's ranked our second running back this week, taking on a pretty awful Carolina Panthers run defense. So, get Greg Doug Martin into your lineup.
And what about the wide receivers? I was thinking of Randall Cobbs and Brian Broyles.
Randall Cobb and Ryan Broyles. I do like Randall Cobb, but Broyles, I mean, you got to find a better option than him.
Really? Is he that bad?
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to find one. And then I'm going to keep my tight end, Antonio Gates, I think, or whomever you call it, Antonio River.
Yeah. Antonio Gates is fine this week. For that flyer, for your wide receiver guy, instead of picking Ryan Broyles, why don't you go after Todd's boy, T.Y. Hillen? He should be relatively cheap in that league.
T.Y. Hillen?
T.Y. Hilton, like the hotel.
Yes. Yes. Is it Theodore Young?
Is he better than Titus Young this weekend against the Packers? They're neck and neck in my mind.
Young's a little banged up. I think T.Y. Hilton's got more upside.
T.Y. Hilton's got more upside.
Yeah, I mean, he's boom or bust, but if he booms, he'll get you a big game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'll try to get him. I'm not sure if I can, but I'll definitely look into this. And the other option I had was Jacoby Jones, but he's very good at that point.
No.
Yeah.
Jacoby Jones is not a good option unless you get return yardage, and I don't think your league allows that.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And for the kickers, I'm going to stick with Garrett Hartley, I believe. But the most important thing is my defense play this week. And since the Cowboys are fairly well managed from a defensive perspective, I was thinking of taking them against Cleveland.
I think that's a great choice.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good play. Yep.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Before I let you go, Bill, did you get any eggs on your car after the comments that we both made regarding people having kids and not playing football on Sunday?
No, I didn't, thankfully.
Not yet.
No, I didn't.
No, I did not.
Not yet, but you know what, Olivier? These shows live forever on iTunes, so you never know. Somebody could listen to this thing a year from now and take their wrath out on Bill.
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it, and I think that to a certain extent, witnessing the birth of a child must be something incredible, but I also think that you should plan for these things.
That's all I was saying.
All I was saying last week is that people should plan better. If you want to have a kid, make sure it's not during the NFL season when you are paid millions of dollars to be at a game 16 times on a Sunday. That's it. That's all I was saying. You have to plan better.
Yeah.
All right, Olivier. I don't want to take up any more of your time. Enjoy the rest of your trip to Brazil. Take care, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Where will Olivier call from next week, Bill?
I don't know, but do you really think it was in Brazil, or is he just trying to bust my chops because he knows
I'm
stuck
really
in geography?
No, he really is. He sent in pictures.
Oh, he really is there?
Yeah, he's there. He travels a lot for work, I guess.
Where can I see these pictures?
I sent one to you, your email.
Oh, really?
Am I correct in this? Isn't he? So he's an Italian from Belgium living in Virginia.
Yes.
Okay.
He travels a lot for work somehow, and I guess he's just filthy rich because he buys us lunch a lot.
I love that. So basically, he's an Italian from Belgium descent, living in Virginia, traveling to Brazil.
Oh, wow.
You got it.
Whoa. Okay. Enough about Olivier. Did you guys see these pictures he sent?
No.
No? Where are they?
Oh. I'm going to tweet them.
How
right
about
now.
We check them out during the break?
All right. That's a good call.
There are Hooters in them?
Let me regroup my thoughts here. Todd's going to take a break. I'm going to take a break. Kevin's going to do God knows what. And I'm going to send out some tweets with Olivier's pictures that he just sent me. So you can follow me. I'll do them under the Football Nation account, FBall Nation on Twitter. We'll be right back, Patriots.com Radio. Up next, we will preview the rest of the Week 11 games. We did the Patriots and Colts through the rest of the slate of games for Week 11. Stay tuned. That's all coming up next.
Football Nation, the pulse of NFL fans everywhere.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day. I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
On Patriots.com. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you, and we got sidetracked a little bit before with our good friend Olivier calling in. We forgot to give the rest of our predictions for the Patriots-Colts game. Kevin, I believe your prediction was 41-24, am I correct?
That is correct.
All right, so you're expecting double-digit victory. Pats score over 40 points. Todd, what do you think?
I'm going to go with 30-20 Patriots.
All right, so that's pretty close to what both of these teams are averaging points-wise. I think it's going to be very high-scoring. I think the Colts
have
a good shot.
So you're with me on that part at least, Bill.
Yes, I'm with you on that part. I think the Colts actually are going to get maybe, I'm predicting a 42-28 game, maybe even 42-31. I would go as far as to say the Colts are going to score 31 points this weekend. I think it's going to be an offensive battle. I don't expect a whole lot of defense in this game. We'll see what Tlaib can do for the Patriots secondary, but Andrew Luck has been on fire, and that's not taking anything away from what Tom Brady's been doing, but you know what? It's pretty much a rushing attack for the Patriots lately, and I think the Colts are going to have to score a lot of points to keep up. So 42-31 is my prediction. Todd, you also predicted a 10-point victory, right?
Yeah, 30-20.
30-20, and I can't do the math on Kevin's score. That's way too hard. 41-17. So Kevin actually thinks the Patriots are going to have the biggest rout, if you will, against the Colts.
What a shocker.
Yeah, 17 points. That's a lot, Kev.
I don't know. I'm just – the spread's 9.5.
So you're doubling it.
Not quite.
Vegas thinks it's 9.5, so I'm just going to go ahead and double it.
Why not?
All right, well, there are big matchups the rest of this week, 11 exciting batch of games for Sunday. But let's start off with the Thursday night game. AFC East battle, Thursday night football. Miami Dolphins taking on the Buffalo Bills. And for a while here, Todd, it looked like the Miami Dolphins actually had a shot at making the playoffs.
Yeah, well.
Playoffs?
Yeah. Are you going to do playoffs? Playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You
Kevin.
Kidding me? Playoffs?
You know, I bet we can do an entire show of just doing the playoff invitation. Entire 2 hours.
Kevin,
playoffs?
I want to bring Kevin in on this one. Kevin, does this game excite you tonight? Miami and Buffalo, AFC East?
It does not.
Yeah. Does not. See that, Bill?
Me either.
Even a Patriots fan. Diehard Patriots fan doesn't
But I mean,
care
the
less.
Only thing that I. The only reason I will. I'm going to record it on DVR and just watch it because we play the Dolphins twice coming up here.
That's right.
So I'll watch it for that,
do your
for that only.
You're going to scout?
Yeah, you know, I like to do a little TV scouting now and then. I've been known to dabble.
There you go.
I'm actually getting dragged to the symphony tonight, so I will not watch it live.
What kind of symphony?
The Boston Symphony Orchestra.
What does that mean? Like instruments and stuff?
Yeah, like woodwind, flutes.
Oh. Who's making you do that?
Who do you think, Bill?
I don't know. Your boyfriend?
Yes, my boyfriend.
I'm just kidding.
Going together.
No, seriously. I didn't even know you had a girlfriend.
I do. Check my Facebook, man. You got to be up on these things.
All right, so your girlfriend is taking you to the Symphony.
She's not taking me. She's dragging me.
Oh.
I'm against my will, I am going to the Boston Symphony Orchestra tonight. On a football night.
So you're
going
to miss the game?
Yes, I will, but I will watch it when I get home.
All right.
So I'll stay up really late watching it.
Well, I'm looking forward to this game because I got C.J. Spiller in 3 of my fantasy leagues, and without Fred Jackson, I think Spiller is going to go off tonight.
I think he's going to have a big night, too.
I actually like watching Ryan Tannehill. I think he can develop into something
somewhat special here in the NFL. I don't know if it's going to happen by the end of this season, but certainly something to get excited about if you're a Dolphins fan out there. But I do think the Dolphins can upset the Bills at home tonight.
Is it an upset?
Yeah, the Bills. The Bills are 1.5-point favorite here.
Yeah, there you go. And okay, they're the home team.
Home team, yeah, home team. Well, I'll tell you what. If the Dolphins do win this game, Bill, they're right in the thick of the playoff hunt. Still, you know, they'll be at 5-5 if they can win this game.
Right.
And you know, the Colts are 6-3, but you figure they're probably going to lose the Patriots. The Steelers are 6-3. They might not have Big Ben for a while.
They're definitely
so,
going to lose Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, if Miami, this is a huge game for Miami. You know, if they win this game, they're right there.
Right, so
you,
back
you
into have, it.
But that's precisely why they're not going to win it. Because they're the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's true. They have been known to let down.
I'm putting all my shekels on the Bills tonight, boys.
I agree. I'm going to go with the Bills in this one.
All right, I'm the only one that thinks the Dolphins.
Especially with that minuscule spread. I mean, they only have to win by two. And it's all the money coming my way.
All right. Let's move into Sunday's matchups. Start off with the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons, who, by the way, just suffered their first loss of the season. No longer undefeated are the Atlanta Falcons. Now, every team in the NFL has at least one loss. So I'm excited about that. I don't like to see any team go undefeated.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a 1972 Dolphins fan or anything. I just think it gets outrageous. Like, Roddy White was already answering questions. The Falcons star wide receiver was already answering questions about the possibility of the Falcons going undefeated last week. Well, now he gets to shut up because that's not happening anymore.
I like it when there's a team undefeated when they deserve to be undefeated. You know, the Patriots a few years ago, they were just crushing everyone the first 12, 13 weeks. You know?
Right. Yep.
That's cool to me. When you have a team like the Falcons, it's kind of just sliding by every week. Good team. And we've been trashing the Falcons all year on this show, Bill, but they finally slipped up. However, I do think they rebound here and take down the Cardinals, who I have no faith in the Cardinals. They've lost 5 in a row after a 4-0 start. Make it 6 in a row. Falcons win this one easily.
Yeah, I think the Falcons will roll right over the Arizona Cardinals. How about the Cleveland Browns playing against the Dallas Cowboys? Suddenly the Cowboys starting to collect a few wins here.
Here we go. Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
The Cowboys and the Eagles. There was a headline in one of the Philadelphia newspapers, Bill. It was what did they say? It was like the Eagles were crappy, or Dallas was crappy, Eagles crappier, something like that.
Yeah.
That was just a battle of two terrible teams. And I think that what you're going to see in the national media is that the Dallas is 4-5 now, and they have a relatively, quote-unquote, easy schedule coming up, and they will collect a few wins. This team is a fraud, and, yeah, they might battle for that final wild card spot. They're not going anywhere. In this game, I think they collect the win at home against the Browns, but I'm not buying into this national hype that Dallas is going to overtake the Giants in the NFC East. Yeah, the Giants are stumbling, but Dallas, Bill, come on.
Yeah, they stink, but they should collect an easy win against the Browns, as you said. How about this NFC North matchup? This is a pretty interesting game. Green Bay Packers coming off a bye, and then the Detroit Lions.
Big game. And a little surprised that the Lions fell to the Vikings last week. We kind of thought the Vikings were going to, you know, the Vikings had been sliding before that game.
Right.
And the Detroit needs to win this one, or they're kind of out of it. If they go to 4-6, the way the NFC is shaping up, Bill, they're in deep trouble. So, big game. It's at home. Packers. I'm going to go with the Packers, man. They've won 4 in a row, and, you know, they're coming off their bye week, correct?
Yeah.
And they got a bye week to rest up. Might have Jordy Nelson back. I'm going to go with your Jermichael Finleys over the Detroit Lions.
The Fighting Jermichaels.
The Fighting Jermichaels.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to discount double-check the Detroit Lions this weekend. I'm with you, Todd. Packers over the Lions in Week 11. What about this Cincinnati versus Kansas City matchup? Is this the ugliest game of the week?
No one's watching this one. But again, like the Dolphins, Bill, if the Bengals win this one, they're back to 5-5 in the AFC.
Right.
That's, you know, they're right in it. They're probably one game out of the wild card. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to win it in Kansas City. I'm not real confident in that, but I'm going to predict the Bengals win.
Well, to me, the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll reveal our bottom five power rankings a little bit later in the show, but they're consistently, week in and week out, they're one of our bottom five teams, worst in the NFL. I think the Bengals are going to win this one as well, Todd. All right, how about an NFC East matchup? Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Washington Redskins. Eagles likely starting a rookie quarterback, Nick Foles. to take on the Redskins this weekend with Mike Vick banged up with that concussion.
And he'll be taking on another rookie quarterback in RG3.
Right.
I'm going to go with the Redskins here, Bill. The Eagles' season is falling apart. The Redskins, are they coming off a bye week, Redskins?
Yes.
Yes,
yes,
and
they
I believe
are.
This is the Eagles have played in what, 3-6? They played 9 games. I think this is the 5th or 6th team that they have to play that's had a bye week prior to playing the Eagles. So,
wow.
The scheduling gods were not favoring the Eagles this year.
No. So,
not good, but I think the Redskins take care of business here. Nick Foles, he'll have his moments, Bill. He'll actually look better than Vic at times. He'll get the ball out quicker than Vic, who holds the ball. I think I saw a stat where he holds the ball the longest in the league, like, in the pocket.
So, really?
So the offensive line's terrible. That's half the problem. The other half the problem is Vic holds the ball too long. So he'll look good at times, Bill, but then what he'll do, Nick Foles, is he'll make the big mistakes like he made last week against Dallas, and that'll be the difference in this one.
All right, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers facing off in an NFC South matchup? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've been hot lately.
Red hot. They're riding Doug Martin.
Yep.
Josh Freeman has a crazy, what is he, an 18-5 touchdown to interception ratio, I think it is.
He's playing great. The Bucs are on a 3-game winning streak.
They are. They win this game. They're 6-4.
Yeah.
And they're battling for that wild card spot. So, I'm going to continue. It's hard to. How can you bet against the Bucs right now? Even though this one's on the road, they're playing the Panthers, who have been one of the most disappointing teams in the league. I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Hey, guys, it's time to preview a brand new soundbite that I downloaded for the Muscle Hamster himself.
The Muscle Hamster.
All right, let's hear it.
Doug Martin.
Remember Hamster Dance?
Yeah, Hamster Dance, sure.
This is a classic.
Yes, it was very much
like in 8th grade, Bill.
Yeah, 8th grade, absolutely. You're in your computer class. You're on, like, your Windows 95 computer.
Driving the teachers
nuts.
And
you say, you got to check out this muscle. You got to check out this hamster, the hamster dance.
The hamster would just sit there and dance to that tune all day long. And you know what? I was just mesmerized for hours.
That and the dancing baby was the sensation back in 8th grade.
I missed those days. It was a simpler time, Bill.
It was so simple. Those AOL America Online discs that you used to get in the mail so you can go online.
How about AIM?
Instant free
messenger
trials,
or whatever.
Sure.
Used to talk to all the chicks on that, you know, chat
absolutely.
Them up.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. My chat buddy list was packed full of females.
Chat them up while I'm flossing my braces.
Oh, God.
Kevin, play that soundbite one more time.
Yeah.
Bill, if Doug Martin is listening to this show right now, I apologize.
Listen, we have to think of a better nickname for him. I think it was Rich Eisen from the NFL Network who campaigned that we find a new nickname for Doug Martin. It was either him or Trey Wingo from ESPN. I don't know who it was, but they're right. He needs a new nickname. The Muscle Hamster is ridiculous. I refuse to call him that.
Well, until he comes up with a new nickname, our producer is going to have a lot of fun with that soundbite.
Yeah, that's weak. I just got it. It's a new toy. Let me play with it for a while.
You can play that for someone else. For some kind of chump.
For who?
I don't know. I'll think of something. Not right now. I mean, eventually I'll think of something.
What's the next game on the bill here?
Wait. So we think the Bucs are going to roll, right?
I don't think they're going to roll. I think it'll be a decent game. But I think that you can't bet against them. Carolina stinks. They're good. I don't care that the game's in Carolina. Take the Bucs.
All right. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars
there.
Taking on... What?
It's solid analysis there.
Yeah. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Houston Texans? I mean, this one might be the lock of the week.
One would think. However, we thought that the Niners would probably take care of the Rams last week, too.
And they friggin' tied.
Yeah. So you never know, but one would think that the Texans will take care of business here against Jacksonville. And if they do, they'll move to 9-1. And, you know, trying to get that number one seed, that's huge in the AFC.
Right, because the next closest team is the Ravens. They're 7-2. Patriots are 6-3.
Yeah, you know, these teams need the Texans to get upset here somewhere along the line, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen last week in that game where in Chicago. So now they come home and get the Jags. You would think that they would take this.
That's like a 16.5 point spread. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, wow. I saw that.
Wow.
I don't think Houston can cover 15.5 points.
I saw 16. I saw 16.5 in my pick'em pool, so I just took the. I insta clicked the Jags.
There you go.
All right, how about the New York Jets and the St. Louis Rams, who, by the way, Todd, you just mentioned the Rams and the Niners tied last week. Danny Amendola, after the game, didn't realize that games could end in a tie. Didn't we already go through this when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles? Hey, NFL players, listen up. Check the rule book. Games can end in a tie during the regular season. If neither of you score points in overtime, guess what? There's no second overtime. The game's over. I can't believe we still have to go through this.
I totally agree. You have to admit, it's much far worse for a quarterback not to know. A quarterback who's, you know, got the first line of communication with their head coach with two minutes left in overtime, needing to, you know, you need to score. Unless you want to sell it for the tie.
Get a sense of urgency.
Yeah, but when you're a wide receiver, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of the quarterback and the play call. So, but you're right. You know, we went through this, and McNabb got crushed for it, rightly so. And here we are a few years later, and Danny Amendola wasn't paying attention.
I miss the olden days of my boy Hasselbeck. You know, win the coin toss in overtime. We want the ball, and we're going to win.
Yeah,
that's my
boy
right there.
Score.
Yeah. How'd that work out? Not so well.
Somebody did that last week in a college game. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
It was a little different in that I forget what happened, but I guess the away team won the toss. Okay, so then they said, "Oh, we want to defer. You know, we want to go on defense first." So then the home team captain looked into the camera and he said, "Well, we want to, because they get to choose what side they play on. You know, what side of the field. We want to go down there by our great students and play down there." The whole stadium went crazy.
Oh wow!
But the best was Hasselbeck, because the first throw he had intercepted, pick six.
Right, pick six. Yeah, that was great. I remember that game.
That was my boy too.
Really? Matt Hasselbeck was your boy?
BC quarterback.
Oh, BC. Oh, yep. God.
Right. My boy.
Right. That's fine. All right, so who's going to win this game, Jets or the Rams? I hope you don't say the Jets.
I'm going Rams.
Yeah.
In St. Louis. The Jets come back from Seattle, right? Now they're going to get back on a plane. Well, they get back from Seattle. Their teammates trash Tebow, and then they get back on a plane to go to St. Louis.
They're just
like, what's
debacle
up with the Jets? Why would you trash Tebow? The guy barely plays. Your team sucks as it is. Like, why blame Tebow? He hasn't done anything enough for you to blame him. He's not responsible for your wins, and he's not responsible for your loss. So why even start to mention him?
I don't know. Why is Tebow even a story this year? I'm so sick of this Tebow stuff. Like, why is he even a story? He doesn't play, like you said. He doesn't play.
I think that's the story, though, Todd, because I think people want him to play.
Want to see the circus.
Yeah, I mean, people, I think, with the Jets now, guys, are just kind of resigned to the fact that they're not going to the playoffs this year. And Mark Sanchez, I mean, what is this, year four or five for him? He's got to be getting up there now.
Yep.
Four.
So if it's year four. Yeah, so this will be, you know, four years. And it's sort of at the point now where you know what he is, and I don't see him improving that much. Nope. So I think those Jets fans are at the point, well, you know, if Denver can go win their division and win a playoff game with this guy, let's see what he has. And I, to be honest, if I was a diehard Jets fan, I don't know that I'd feel all that differently.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like Tebow, I don't hate him. I have nothing against the guy personally. I don't think he's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, you know, if I had sat through 4 years of Mark Sanchez and, you know, a team that just couldn't seem to really get by the Patriots and, you know, you're, 3-6 this year? And you know you're not making the playoffs. Why not, you know?
Why not throw Tebow in there?
That's all I'm saying. I can understand why some of the Jets fans would feel that way. I'll put it that way.
You know, Mark Sanchez recently broke up with Eva Longoria. What was he thinking?
Remember when he was dating those, like, 15-year-old girls?
Dating Kate Upton.
Well, yeah, but remember when he got, like, busted because he was, like, shuttling girls over the New York border into Jersey where it's, like, the legal age is 16, and he was, like, going into hotels with them and stuff?
Yeah, I drove some of those buses.
Those were good. Those were good times. It was, like, a different girl every 3 hours. He was just getting, like, a buffet of young women, like, fed up to his hotel room.
Listen, I mean, good for him, but you don't break up with Eva Longoria.
No.
I mean, she's freaking
that's a party.
Smoking.
That's a party foul.
I don't know why I broke up with Kate Upton. I think she's the hottest girl on the planet right now.
I agree with you. Bill and I in lockstep here.
I'll tell you what. Last year was at Indianapolis for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Kate Upton walks in front of me. It was 7:30 in the morning. I was outside having some coffee. She walked right in front of me, and I was like in shell shock mode. I couldn't even speak to her. She was surrounded by like five publicists and like some weird dorky looking guys.
Did she give you a look, Bill?
No. Bill, not even a chance.
Bill, I'm not even gonna front about this one, guys. She didn't even look my way. She didn't even hurt.
She
nothing.
Didn't use the back of your bald head as like a mirror.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing. I got nothing from her.
Bill had to spend the rest of his afternoon in his hotel room alone.
I was miserable, actually, because I was like, that was my shot. Like, she just walked in front of me, and I didn't even say anything to her. Come on.
Didn't Tebow walk in front of you later that day?
I don't know.
Oh, Bill with his Super Bowl stories.
It's so funny how we talk about the Jets for like two seconds, and then we end up on Kate Upton.
But as an aside, I wish I had known you guys because I was in Indy for like 8 days, so we could have hung out, got beers.
Dude, so was I. I was with Kerry.
Yeah, no, I know. I just wish I had known you guys going into that whole thing because I was camped out there for 8 days.
Yeah, I was there. I was hanging out on Radio Row every day, going to media day.
Yeah, I probably actually walked past you probably at some point.
Probably bumped shoulders, trying to give me a dirty look.
Probably did.
It's all right. And now we're boys.
Yeah, it's all good.
We'll be back this year. It'll be even better. We'll be in New Orleans.
If I go to New Orleans, oh, God, you're going to need to put a leash on me.
Watch out.
I'll be
good
trouble.
Thing you're going to the symphony tonight.
Yeah,
to
good thing I'm
it.
Getting a little culture tonight, you know?
Jets, Rams. Who's winning? Jets, right? Or, I mean, Rams, right? No way the Jets win.
Rams.
All right, Rams. How about the New Orleans Saints? Speaking of New Orleans, Saints versus the Raiders. Raiders, one of the worst teams in the league. Saints, are they on like a 4-game winning streak?
Two.
I think. Well, they won 4 out of their last 5, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, they started off the year 0-4. Now they're 4-5. And they're pretty close to being in the playoff picture.
And they get a trip to Oakland, which
and they
is
get an easy trip to Oakland. They just gave the Falcons their first loss of the season.
Yeah.
No, Saints starting to come alive.
They are. They're coming alive. They proved me wrong last week, Bill. Actually, last week was one of the few times I thought the Falcons were actually going to win a game. And I was wrong. The Saints came through, and that's another kind of national media team that everyone, you know, one of the darlings of the NFL for some reason, that teams, you know, people want to see do well. Maybe in the wake of the scandal, they want to see them kind of turn it around. And here they go, man. If they beat the Raiders, they're 5-5, right in the thick of it.
I think they'll absolutely beat the Raiders. No question.
Yeah, I
think the Raiders.
So. It's hard right. to, it's, you know, if they lose that one, then they really blew it.
Yeah.
Because after that, I mean, after that game, it gets tough for them. They got to play the Niners, Falcons again on the road this time. And then they got to go to the Meadowlands and play the Giants.
Right. So
not easy.
They got to start collecting their wins now.
They
got to
win.
Which
this
is
a must
what they've
win.
Been doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Must win.
All right. How about AFC West matchup? San Diego Chargers versus the Denver Broncos.
Denver. It's up in Mile High. Denver 6-3. They've won 4 in a row. They're one of the best teams in the entire league. And, you know, me and North Turner, Bill.
Hate each other.
We don't get along, so I've got to go with the Bronx here.
All right, I agree. I think Peyton Manning gets it done. Phillip Rivers has been erratic, to say the least, and we all know how bad North Turner play calling can be. I think Denver rolls over the Chargers. How about the Sunday night game? Interesting for a lot of reasons, Todd. Baltimore Ravens likely going to be without Big Ben Roethlisberger. Now, Pittsburgh Steelers are going to likely be out with Big Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers have been rolling the last couple weeks. They're starting to collect some wins, starting to make up some ground in the AFC North. But now, without Big Ben, they're playing against the Raiders on Ravens on Sunday night, and then they play them again 2 weeks from now.
Yep.
What's going on in that division? Do the Steelers have a chance this weekend without Roethlisberger? We saw Byron Leftwich a little bit on Monday night. He looked horrible.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. We kind of sensed the Steelers were going to start to roll, and they have. But this is there's a lot of mystery surrounding this injury, Bill. I mean, you know, there's not only the shoulder sprain, right, but there's the rib. The rib thing seems to be kind of the real issue, right?
Right.
And so he, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think we have any idea how long he's going to be out for at this moment. I mean, we know he's not playing this week. Who knows? Is he going to be back the next week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Is he out for the year? I don't think we know. At this moment, we don't really know. So I don't know what to tell you. I still think in the next two games against the Ravens, whether he plays or not, I have a weird feeling they're going to split this series with the Ravens.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, so I don't know whether – I mean, this game's in Pittsburgh, right? And then the second game's in Baltimore. I don't know where the win's going to come from, but I have a feeling they're going to split.
Now, if you're a Patriots fan, you're hoping for that because the Ravens right now have the tiebreaker over the Patriots and they have the better record.
Right.
So if the Patriots want that second seed, New England fans should be rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend, and hopefully Big Ben Roethlisberger to return to action.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, that's what they're rooting for. I don't know, man. It's a weird game. It's a divisional, you know, one of those crazy division rivalry games, Bill, an actual rivalry where both teams, the players are still the same for the most part. And should be a good one. I think it'll be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
All right.
Who are you taking in this one?
I think the Ravens win.
All right.
Something like the last five times the Ravens played the Steelers without Big Ben Roethlisberger, they're like 5-0.
Yeah, they do well against them. I will agree with that. I think it's going to be close, though.
Okay.
By the way, I mean, did you watch that Steelers-Chiefs game?
A little bit.
I mean, the NFL, their last two showcase games were that just sloppy, rainy, just low-scoring, messy games. That Steelers-Chiefs game was just dreadful.
Right.
And so you said, the Texans-Bears game didn't live up to the hype at all.
Yeah, I don't know why the Steelers and the Chiefs would ever be on primetime Monday Night Football.
I don't know. I mean, well, didn't you predict the Chiefs preseason to go to the playoffs?
I did, but that has
maybe
no
relevance.
That has no relevance
thing.
On how the
I think
Steelers.
I think he had
would...
the Chiefs and the Bengals in the AFC title game.
No, I didn't. Relax.
Is that who you had, Bill? I forget.
No.
Oh, there's Kevin.
I had
no,
the
and then you had
what? The Patriots.
Panthers, Rams on the other side. Is that who you had? Can't remember.
I had the Panthers and the...
You did have the Panthers.
Yeah, I had the Panthers and the Packers.
Mm. All right. So, I will agree with you this time, Bill. I think the Ravens will squeak it out. I think it'll be very close. And I think that Pittsburgh... I don't know if they're going to have Big Ben back or not in 2-3 weeks, but I think they take care of them on the road in 3 weeks. How about that?
All right. I like that prediction. What about the Monday night game? Both quarterbacks should be out because of the concussions. But all of a sudden, it seems like Jay Cutler and Alex Smith will have no problems playing as the Bears travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers.
You know, we talked about the Bears a couple weeks ago, Bill, and how they were going to be tested soon. You know, they had kind of an easy slate of games there for a little while. And we said, well, they got Houston and San Fran coming up. Let's see how they do. We saw them against Houston, and yeah, Cutler got hurt. But were you impressed?
No, not at all.
Now, they hung with them. I mean, they hung in there, which was impressive. But
there were so many turnovers in that game. It was like a joke.
Yeah. Well, can you see the same thing kind of happening here?
Yes.
Against the Niners? I mean, basically, yes. It's the same kind of team. Exactly. This is, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to this game like I was 3 weeks ago. I guess that's my point. You know, the Niners stumble against the Rams. Chicago stumbles against the Texans, looks bad in the process. Both quarterbacks woozy. This game doesn't quite have the hype that we were hoping for a couple weeks ago.
You know, the 49ers coach, Jim Harbaugh, had some kind of procedure done today at a hospital. He went to the emergency room for some kind of irregular heartbeat. That was kind of weird.
Well, I hope he's all right. Is he going to be – I mean, I didn't hear this. I didn't see this yet.
Yeah, it just came out. Jim Harbaugh underwent a minor procedure Thursday to correct an irregular heartbeat. 49ers expect him back at the team's facility tomorrow, Friday.
Okay. All right. I'll take the Niners. They're at home, not impressed with the Bears, and especially if Jay Cutler's not 100%. I think that the Bears need him more than the Niners need Alex Smith, so I will go with the Niners in this one.
All right. I think the 49ers are going to win that one as well. So biggest upset and biggest lock of the week, Todd, what do you got? Who's your lock of the week?
Lock? Well, it's got to be the Texans.
I was just going to say, it has to be the Texans over the
Jaguars.
But Jaguars.
Not against the spread, though. Not against that crazy spread.
No.
15.5, 16.5 points, that's crazy.
How about the biggest upset?
Did I give you an upset?
No.
Looking here. I didn't really. I kind of went with a lot of favorites this time around.
How about the Eagles over the Redskins? No faith in them?
No faith in them. I tell you, I think that the Steelers, if you want an upset, I think the Steelers could be the upset team. I told you they're going to probably lose a close one, but I could see that. I could see the Steelers winning at home.
All right.
How's that?
We'll see.
How about your upset? What's your upset?
My upset is the Eagles over the Eagles over the Redskins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will reveal. Our top 10 teams in the NFL with the Football Nation Power Rankings. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Every football fan has a voice at FootballNation.com.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Football Nation has returned. Bill and Todd hanging out with you on Patriots.com Radio. It is time for our Football Nation Power Rankings. We go over the bottom five, the worst five, and the top 10 teams in the NFL right now. And Todd, we always start off with the worst five, the bottom five. Who do we have this week? Number 28.
Number 28 is the Carolina Panthers, Bill Enright. Some guy named Bill Enright predicted they would go to the NFC title game last year.
What
or this
idiot.
Year. Do you have them going to the Super Bowl?
Who? That guy, Bill Enright? Yeah, an idiot that guy was. Yeah. I believe he did predict that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. That's correct.
They have rewarded you with a stinker thus far this season, and that's why they are number 28 in the rankings. You know, they've lost a couple of close games, Bill, and you never know. Maybe Cam Newton turns it around. He's got the ability. But I think part of his problem is mental, and that's why they're 2-7 at this point.
All right, how about number 29, a new team that is entering the bottom five, and that's because, well, we really just like to make fun of them, and that's the New York Jets.
They don't like Tim Tebow there in New York anymore. How about that? Tim Tebow is terrible.
You know, some of these players that come out and tell the reporters that, you know, he's terrible, he's horrible, we don't want him as the quarterback, he's just a Wildcat guy. It's a little bit of a cowardly move when they don't attach their name to what they say.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Ridiculous. I mean, from what I understand, Tim Tebow is the consummate teammate. He doesn't do anything wrong, doesn't try to cause any controversy in the locker room. But then you have these guys that are a bit cowardly, and they kind of go behind their teammates' back. This is supposed to be like your family member. They go behind their back, and they kind of open their start to blab away to all the reporters that are covering the Jets.
I will say this. If you want to look at the sunny side for the Jets, their schedule the rest of the way isn't that bad. I mean, they got the Rams this week. We predicted they would lose, but that's a very winnable game.
Right.
They got to play the Patriots. Okay. And they got the Cardinals, Jags, Titans, Chargers, Bills.
All right. Well, I don't think they're going to beat the Rams. I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots, obviously.
All right.
They can beat the Chargers.
I'm just saying they could win another. They could go 6-10, 7-9, maybe here.
Let's slow down with the 7-9. 6-10 is where they're at.
All right.
I don't think they can pass that.
They put Tebow in the mix, baby, and then all of a sudden, good things happen.
Oh dear Lord.
Let's go to number 30 on our list, Bill. How about those Cleveland Browns? They've been in this bottom five for a long time. Any way they dig themselves out of this?
No, I don't think so. Not at this point. You know, we're really excited to watch Trent Richardson develop as an up-and-coming NFL running back. Who knows what Brandon Whedon has in store for him now that the Browns have a new team owner. We'll see how the Brandon Whedon performs over the next couple weeks of the season. Maybe the Browns have to revisit the quarterback spot, considering Whedon's age. We don't know if the Browns are sold on the fact that he's their franchise quarterback. I don't think they can make anything. I don't think they can make a turnaround at this point.
All right, number 31, those Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
How about that pass from Matt Castle there in overtime? Seal the deal.
To seal the deal for the Steelers.
Yeah, it was almost a pick six.
You know, he did nothing the entire game.
I know.
The last minute or so, drove his team down the field, had a really bad penalty on the tight end Tony Moyaki, and still got another pass down the field to Dwayne Bowe, put him in field goal range, suck up the kicker, hit a 46-yarder, put him into overtime. The Chiefs get the ball in overtime, and then Castle throws an interception. It's returned down to the 5-yard line, and Mike Tomlin, he did not waste any time. He sent his kicker out on first down to kick the field goal in overtime.
Let's get out of here. That's what
he
said.
Let's get out of here. It was raining. He wanted to see how his boy Big Ben was doing. Mike Tomlin, other than Mike Tomlin for me, top three coach in the NFL. Love what he does for the Steelers. I think he's one of the best press conference type guys. I like Mike Tomlin a lot.
He's the captain of cool, man. He's just
yeah,
a cool
he really
character.
Is.
He never gets flustered. He's one of the boys on the, you know, the players respect him.
Right.
Whenever they have that little sideline cam when the players come off, you know, the defense makes a big play. He's just right in there in the huddle.
Yeah.
Chest bumping. I totally agree.
And, you know, when he's mad at a player, he doesn't really yell. He just opens up his eyes real big and kind of gives him a stare down. I like that, too.
Good coach. Steelers are good at hiring coaches, man. They've got the format down. All right, drum roll, please. Number 32 on our list, the worst team, Football Nation Power Rankings. Number 32, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And it's no surprise that they're a 15-point underdog this weekend or a 16-point underdog this weekend. They're just terrible. You know, Blaine Gabbert got hurt last week against the Colts. Chad Henne trotted out there. No Maurice Jones-Drew. Their defense is struggling. They don't really have a lot of playmakers on their offense.
Bill,
Justin Blackmon, big-time disappointment.
Yeah. When your best player is a guy named Cecil Shorts.
Hey, don't make fun of Cecil. That's my boy on my fantasy team this weekend. My wide receiver 3, baby. Cecil Shorts has been getting it done for the Jags.
Forget fantasy for just a second. I know you got fantasy on the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But when your best offensive player is a guy named Cecil Shorts, you're going to be 1-8 or whatever their record is right now. 1-8. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got nothing. MJD is down, hasn't come back. Rashad Jennings hasn't done anything to replace him. Big disappointment there. They've just got nothing. Blaine Gabbert, do you believe in Blaine Gabbert?
Unfortunately, no, I don't. You know, he was, what, the second quarterback taken in that draft? Or was he the third quarterback? Did Jake Locker go in front of him?
Was there right around the same spot. I think Locker went Cam did go Newton, a little bit ahead of him.
I think it went Cam Newton, Titans, and then Jaguars, and then Christian Ponder. Yeah. There was four quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks that year. Cam Newton went one. I think Jake Locker went before Blaine Gabbert. And, you know, Gabbert just, he just looks lost out there. It doesn't seem like he's willing to hold on to the ball long enough, get rid of the pass in time before the hit comes. He kind of just goes down, kind of shies away from taking a hit. And that's not what you want to see from the player that is supposed to be your franchise quarterback.
Bill, again, I watched a lot of college ball, and Blaine Gabbert played in a real gimmicky offense in Missouri where it was a quick release offense, right?
Yeah.
2-3 steps, balls out of his hand. Never got hit, you know? Different than Robert Griffin III. Yeah, he played in a gimmicky offense as well, but they had the deep pass as a huge part of their offense. Not the same with Missouri. So I didn't really believe in Blaine Gabbert coming out of college. Couldn't believe it when they said he was going to be a first-round draft pick. Same kind of thing with Christian Ponder for the Vikings.
Yeah.
There's another guy. I just didn't get it. So Blaine Gabbert, man, he's not panning out. It's going to be interesting. Some of these teams, Browns, Chiefs, Jags, you know, what are they going to do in the draft? We'll worry about that later. But they got a lot of holes to address.
All right, that's so our bottom five teams are the Carolina Panthers, the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs, and dead last in the league is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's move over to our top 10 teams. These are the best teams in the NFL right now. And even though they're on a two-game losing streak, we have the New York Giants at number 10 as they're heading into a bye.
Yeah, and the Giants are slumping. They are slumping. They got the bye week to try to clean things up. But, you know, when you look at the entire league, they're still a top 10 team. And again, who's more dangerous than the Giants when it comes to January? If they get into the big dance, baby, they know how to get it done. So Giants are lurking. I think they've got, even though it's only a two-game lead, Bill, in the NFC East, and it could be a one-game lead after this weekend when they have a bye and the Cowboys play the Browns, I still can't see the Cowboys overtaking the Giants. They don't play each other the rest of the way. They already play each other twice.
Right.
So I think that the Giants will be there. They'll win the division. It'll be ugly. But once they get in there, baby, you know, they know how to get it done.
All right, number 9, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the reason why they're not higher is because Ben Roethlisberger, their quarterback, may be out a few games.
Yeah, we got to wait and see on that. You know, they deserve a spot here in the top 10, but until we know how long Big Ben's going to be out for, got to kind of keep them down low in the top 10 here.
All right, how about the Green Bay Packers at number 8? They're coming off a bye, taking on the Detroit Lions this weekend.
Yeah, I think I would put them a little higher, Bill.
Okay.
Number 8. I mean, I don't. We'll get to some
over
of the
who?
Teams a little later. Well, we'd have to reveal the rest of our picks.
All right, okay. All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on. I have the Broncos at number 7.
Another team I think should be higher on the list.
Okay.
Number 6.
Chicago Bears.
That's the team I would dump.
All right, so we're moving the Bears from 6, putting them above the Broncos and above the Packers at 8. So they would take the Packers spot.
I would lower the. I'm down on the Bears right now. Down on the Bears. Not impressed with what I'm seeing. Broncos,
not a great defense.
I tell you what, man. Broncos, 7th best team in the entire NFL. They're better than that. Broncos are streaking, man. They're looking good.
All right. So let's move on to number 5, San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Well, Niners. You know, they got the. They looked unbelievable, unstoppable until they hit the Giants a few weeks back, right?
And then they played. Then they tied the Rams.
They tied the Rams. So yeah, they're not looking quite as unstoppable anymore. Alex Smith concussion doesn't sound serious. Not sure if he's going to play this week or not. But you know, they've got this after this week. They get the Bears Monday night. They got the Saints next week, which is a pretty interesting game. And after that, Rams, Dolphins, a couple winnable ones there. I don't know. I think that, you know, they're a top 5 team, and I can't really argue with this ranking here.
All right, and then at number 4, we have the Atlanta Falcons, who suffered their first loss of the season in Week 10.
Yeah, okay. Number 4. What did we have before? 2, 3? Did they even drop that far?
They dropped 2 spots.
All right. Number four. Hey, you know, this point in the season, one loss, we'll kind of put him in there. But I'll tell you what, if they were to play the Broncos again, I think the Broncos would beat them.
Okay.
So the Broncos, who are our number seven team, I think they're better than the Falcons. I might be raising those Broncos up a little higher.
Wow. Even higher. So inside the top five, you want them?
Probably at five. Yeah.
All right. How about the Baltimore Ravens at number three? Do you like that ranking?
Not sure about that, man.
Oh, come on. They put up 55 points last week. That was the most scored in the NFL all season long.
Yeah, I don't believe in this defense. And, you know, they had all of the injuries, and then we talked about it. They after the injuries happened, the injuries happened in week six,
right.
October 14th. Then they played the Houston Texans and got drilled 43-13. Limped into a bye week, a much-needed bye week, a perfect bye week for them. Then they come out of it with two easy games against the Browns and the Raiders.
Right.
They squeak by the Browns, and they crush the Raiders. So, you know, we're about to find out what these guys are made of. Their rest of the way is pretty difficult from, you know, they got the Steelers twice. We talked about that at length in the show. They got to go to San Diego, moderately difficult game there because it's on the road. They still have to play the Broncos and the Giants later on. So we're going to find out a lot about this team as the weeks progress.
All right, so now we're getting to the top two. New England Patriots made the biggest jump out of any team. We had them at number six last week. Now they're at number two, Todd.
Wow, big belief in those Patriots.
I just think it's because their schedule the next 4 weeks is pretty easy until they play the Texans in week 14.
Right. Well, you know, they did lose to the Ravens, who you have ranked below them.
Yeah.
By the way, Bill, what? Since we're talking about the upcoming schedule here for the Patriots,
yeah,
you going to cook me some Thanksgiving dinner? Coming down.
You're coming to New Jersey?
I will be there. We're traveling with the team on Wednesday and for the game on Thursday.
You're more than welcome to come to my place, pal. We got a spot open for you.
Just figured.
I'm dead serious.
I appreciate it.
Where are you staying? At the W in Hoboken?
No, I think I'd have to look. I think it's like the Sheridan, East
Sheridon,
Rutherford.
Right across the street from the stadium.
Yeah. I think that's where it is.
All right. Yeah, we'll hang out. I'll pick you up.
We'll talk.
All right, cool. I'm looking forward to that.
We could get Bill all dressed up in his drag and have a night out on the town on Wednesday.
We'll see
night.
What happens with that.
Yeah, fly Olivier.
Bill and I will just take a few shots and see where the night goes.
See how jealous Todd is getting already?
Telling you, man. Fly in Olivier from
Todd and all his hair are very
Brazil.
Jealous.
Yeah.
All my hair?
Yeah.
Yes, all of your hair. You and all of your hair are very jealous.
I won't be anywhere near that stadium. But
Bill and I, two single wild stallions out in New York City.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, absolutely, Kevin. You're more than welcome to come.
We're gonna let the dogs out.
Patriots number two. Todd, you don't like that because the Ravens beat them back in what was
no,
that?
No, I'm just asking
two,
the question.
Three?
Just asking the question. Listen. Yep, you have a head-to-head result right there, and you flip-flopped them.
But
surprised.
you just finished saying on how you don't really buy into the Ravens.
I know, but if you're gonna rank them right together, then you got to have Ravens above Patriots, right?
All right, so if you had to redo this list, because right now you're very upset with it, who
well,
would you have
one,
at two and three?
Number one is first,
Houston,
right?
The Houston Texans, obviously.
Right.
I mean,
number one,
obvious.
Texans. Yeah, I would mix it up. Kevin, who's the second best team in the NFL right now?
Oh, that's a good one.
Let's give Texans number one. Let's just say they're
okay.
number one.
I mean, I guess, yeah, no, you can't argue with that. If all right, you're going to probably kill me for this. I'm going to go with the Packers.
I'm not surprised. You need to be up higher.
You know,
I just think they've rounded into form. They got robbed in Seattle. They're probably a little bit better than their record.
Here's what I'll say.
Their defense really isn't that good, guys.
No, it's not. But there's a lot of teams that you can say that about, including the Patriots.
Bill, here's what I'll say. We did the top 10.
They have no rushing attack. It's all Aaron Rodgers. If you can shut down Aaron Rodgers.
I'll take Aaron Rodgers, though.
But you know what? The Seahawks had no problem doing it. And even though they had a really bad call late in the game, they sacked him 9 times in that
Yeah, that
in
was
that,
yeah, that was embarrassing. That was offensive line problems, yeah.
They just lost their right guard or right tackle, Brian Beluga, for the season. They have some problems on that team.
I'm just not one of these guys. I agree with Todd that I mean, you have to put the Falcons up there just by record. I'm just really not that sold on them.
We don't have the Falcons at 2.
No, but I mean, I know that they're up there, though. Like, aren't they in the top 5? Didn't
number
we just say them?
Yeah, they're
number
4.
I just, I mean, I could probably, I would take, if you were asking me to pick a team that I thought could go to the Super Bowl, I would take, odds-wise, I would take, let's see, who I would take the Patriots ahead of them. I would take the Packers ahead of them. I would take the Texans ahead of them. I would take the Ravens ahead of them. I just think, I'm just not that sold on them. I don't know why. I might even take the Giants, Bill, ahead of them.
I don't know, guys. I think the Falcons are pretty good. They had a really tough matchup. Their first loss of the season against the Saints in New Orleans. I think Matt Ryan took a step forward this year. Their defense is playing great. Michael Turner in the rushing game is struggling a little bit, but when you have Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and that offense is firing
we'll
all cylinders.
I mean,
Ryan had 411 passing yards last week.
With all the hype around this team, if this team does not make the NFC title game, I think they're a failure.
I've never seen a team 8-1 get less respect.
I just don't buy in. They got to win this current group, core group of players.
They got to prove it.
Yeah, with Matt Ryan, Tony
what
Gonzalez.
What more can they do?
They
to
have
prove
to win
it?
A freaking playoff game.
Yeah, Bill, they can't put up 2 points in a playoff game.
We got him there. We got him.
Well,
we got him.
Silence.
Hey, listen. Let's see what happens when.
Poor Bill just had a stroke.
Let's see what happens when they have their home field this year.
Yeah, let's see what happens when they have their home field and Aaron Rodgers marches in there and puts up 500 passing yards on.
We'll
it.
See. We'll see what happens.
You know, even Eli.
You can't.
We're
not judging them on last year, guys. This is not a 2011 power rankings. If so, the Giants would be number one. The Patriots would be number two. And the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers would be 3-4. This is a 2012 power rankings list. Why are you guys bringing up last year's playoff game for the Falcons?
I don't know. I think.
Or 2 years ago, when the Packers won
it. Because I think a lot of the players are the same, and I don't know. I just don't trust them. I don't trust that culture down there.
Totally agree.
I don't know, guys. I've never seen a team like
the
Falcons.
Hey, we can have a healthy debate on this. This is what sports radio is all about.
Yeah, you guys can have that debate on Thursday, you know, during your Thanksgiving feast.
Eating the turducken.
With your bald heads.
Yeah, no turducken. Bald heads just bumping into one another.
A lot of shine in that room.
Get on my shine box.
The bright lights are going to be bouncing off our heads. We're going to be taking down airplanes.
Be sweating, too.
Bill, to wrap up this top 10, here's what I'll say. I think that you've underrated the Packers and Broncos, and you've overrated the Ravens and Bears.
All right.
We'll make
an adjustment.
Adjust it up, baby.
We're going to make an adjustment. All right. Quickly, we will take a short break, and then Carrie Byrne from ColdHeartFootballFacts.com will join us. We will talk about Andrew Luck. Carrie actually has the stats to prove that Russell Wilson, the rookie quarterback from the Seahawks, is having a better season than Andrew Luck. So we'll talk with Kerry when he joins us in the next segment. Keep it here, Patriots.com radio.
Football Nation is all football all the time.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, that's right. Kerry Byrne is joining us right now. You can listen to Kerry on Patriots.com radio every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, you can check out his stuff every day of the week. ColdHardFootballFacts.com, and don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter, at Football Facts. Kerry joins us every week at this time during the show. Kerry, thanks so much for coming on. Big week ahead in Week 11 of the NFL. Patriots taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Rookie sensation Andrew Luck, the media is falling in love with him, but you say Russell Wilson, the rookie quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, is actually having a better season.
Well, right now, what we said is, we said it point blank, Russell Wilson is the best rookie quarterback in football right now. And if you look at the efficiency numbers, the numbers that win and lose NFL games, and how he's come out of nowhere, it's quite a story. He's playing phenomenally well. And by the way, I am reading on ESPN right now a debate between all their conference division bloggers debating that story that we wrote.
Debating your story?
Yep. Mike Fando, Paul Kahoski, they're all having it out over whether we are off our rocker or, in fact, dead on balls accurate, as the Cold Hard Football Facts always are. So it's a pretty cool dust up at ESPN debating our little story of Cold Hard Football Facts and Football Nation, which, you know, it's kind of taken off. And the thing, guys, Russell Wilson's putting up great numbers. It's simple as that. If you took Russell Wilson and transposed his numbers, the numbers he's put up right now, over the name of the number one overall pick, there'd be no question that he was the best rookie quarterback in football right now. He's quite simply playing more efficient football, a higher completion percentage, more likely to get the ball in the end zone, a higher passer rating, average per attempt about the same. He's more accurate, more likely to get the ball in the end zone. He's Russell Wilson right now, one of two quarterbacks in football with three wins against quality opponents. Now, granted, wins are a team indicator, but only the Seattle Seahawks and Houston Texans have three quality wins this year. This is a pretty good team. This is a pretty good story. And as we said in the story, in the piece, the biggest story in football is that a charismatic but undersized 5 foot 11-inch, 205-pound, third-round draft pick who makes chump change by NFL standards is in the midst of perhaps the greatest streak of rookie performances in NFL history. And because he plays in Seattle and he wasn't a first-round draft pick, nobody is talking about it, guys. He's putting up some very good numbers.
And you know what, Kerry? You know, harkening back to the draft, and we do a lot of draft content and analysis over at Football Nation, I was in love with Russell Wilson, but the problem was this, his height. And
yep.
We have seen it over and over again. The NFL, you heard it from pundit after pundit after pundit. Man, if Russell Wilson was 6'4 instead of 5'11, he'd be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, I think that's part of the issue with why he didn't get drafted so high. Same kind of thing as Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees was a top of the second round pick back when he got drafted. But still, you know, these quote-unquote smallish quarterbacks don't get the love on draft day.
Well, no, and I think I can understand, you know, I can understand that. I mean, you want the most physically imposing guy. It's football, after all. It's not, you know, maybe in baseball it doesn't matter as much. And, you know, it doesn't matter sitting here at a keyboard tapping out stats whether you're 6'4 or... Well, 5'2", so I understand in football you want the more physically imposing guy. I understand that matters. My concern, gentlemen, is more that if he had the pedigree of a number one pick, it wouldn't be any debate that he was the best rookie quarterback because his numbers are great. You know, Andrew Luck, guys, has put up mediocre numbers. In his last five games, he has 3 touchdown passes. He has 4 interceptions. Russell Wilson, in those same 5 games, 10 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. What's the debate here, guys? Who's the more productive quarterback?
It's Andrew
Russell
Luck
Wilson.
Does have 2 rushing touchdowns, I believe, in that span.
What's that?
As well.
He does have
Luck rushed for 2
rushing ball in, but you know, everyone. And the thing is, after that, what inspired the story was after the Colts beat the Jaguars on Thursday Night Football, everyone made it sound like he had this phenomenal game. You know, he did run for 2 touchdowns. One of them a nice run. One was a quarterback sneak. He had 0 touchdown passes. He had 1 interception. Nice completion percentage. Mediocre 80 rating. But also, guys, against the worst team in football, one of the 2 worst teams in football in the Jaguars, that was a nondescript average performance by a young quarterback. There was nothing distinctive about it, but everyone had to rave about it because he's the number one pick. And what we do at Code on Football Facts, we always skewer the perceptions that don't always jive with reality, and this is one of those times, guys. Like I said, take Russell Wilson's numbers, put him over Andrew Luck's name, and then there's no debate, there's no question. On who is right now at this time, not talking about the rest of his career or who's going to be better going down the road, but right now at this time, Russell Wilson, the best rookie quarterback in football.
Wow, how about it? So it's causing a stir with ESPN. We love it. And Kerry, you always cause a stir with your stories.
I cause a stir just by jiggling down the street, gentlemen, you know?
So Kerry, you know, we talked about Andrew Luck, and obviously they're playing the New England Patriots this week in that weak secondary. You know, how do you see this game shaping up?
Well, with all that I said about Andrew Luck's mediocre numbers so far, the Patriots have a kind of a odd habit of making even average quarterbacks look good. The Patriots are a superior team, obviously, guys. But Andrew Luck's going to get his yards. He's going to move the ball down the field. We see it from everybody. We see it week after week. But the difference here, guys, and I don't know if this is getting enough attention, and this is the great tribute to Andrew Luck and his poise and his ability to play well on the clutch. So we're not bashing Andrew Luck. He's a great player and will be a great player in his future. And the fact that this team is 6-3 right now is literally a statistical miracle. This team is still very bad defensively, guys. They are number 26, talking about the Colts, and defensive passer rating. The Patriots are number 28, by the way. The Colts are only slightly better defensively, stopping opposing quarterbacks. So in that matchup of Tom Brady versus a terrible defense or Andrew Luck versus a terrible defense, that's Tom Brady's battle to win all day, you know, at least for the foreseeable future, for this year and maybe next year until Andrew Luck, you know, gets a little more experience under his belt. But this is the type of team that Tom Brady really should have one of those patented monster days that he is totally capable of putting up. And by the way, we're not talking about enough about this. And people in New England are not. They're so worried. They're such naysayers in a lot of ways. The Patriots right now on pace to have the number 7 scoring offense in the history of football, guys. This is an impressive, awesome, incredible offensive machine that's going to have its way with the Colts on Sunday. The problem is, can they slow down the Colts enough to win big? And I do think they can. I do think that this is still a pretty average team that's kind of pulled some rabbits out of its hat in terms of the Colts, and the Patriots are still overall a vastly superior club.
Kerry, you mentioned this Patriots offense is projected to finish seventh among all NFL teams in the history in terms of points. What did that 2007 team rank? I'm curious.
Number one all time.
Yeah, there you go.
At least in total points. This is total points, by the way. The 2007 Patriots scored 589 points in 16 games. That's 36.8 points per game. There was actually one team better. The 1942 Bears scored 38.8 points per game, but they did, I think it was 11 games that year. They had something like 400-something points in 11 games. So that Bears team is actually the number one scoring offense of all time on a per-game basis, but just looking at total number of points scored, the Patriots on pace to, I believe the total right now would be 537 points or something. Number seven all time. So this is almost people are, I think we've got so used to the Patriots offense being so prolific that people are blasé about it. I mean, this team's scoring 33 points per game, and it's a mighty machine that nobody really can stop. And, you know, that's how they're going to have to win this year, guys, because we all know right now it's not a Super Bowl-caliber defense.
I wonder if it's because – I was just going to say, I wonder if it's because of their record. You would think if the Patriots have the number one offense in the league and they're scoring the most points at any other team, their record would be a lot better than what it currently is.
Yeah, but that's where you go. You know, it all comes down to that battle of passing efficiency, how well you're winning that battle of passing efficiency, okay? So the Patriots are one of the most efficient passing teams in football. We all know how well Tom Brady is, scoring more points than any other team. But in terms of what we call passer rating differential, guys, the mother of all stats, the indicator that really kind of shows you how strong teams are, they're only number 11 in that indicator. Their pass defense is so bad that they're barely above water in terms of passer rating differential. You got the great Tom Brady on one side, but quite frankly, they make every opposing quarterback look like Tom Brady. Statistically, right. They make every opposing quarterback look like Tom Brady.
And
that's why this team is, you know, that's why they're gonna struggle, and that's why it's so amazing and a testament to Tom Brady's greatness that even Pierre the last several years with really bad defenses, they're still a victory machine, guys. These guys still crank out wins. As efficiently as any, and as often, as any team in the history of football. So, it's really a testament to that quarterback. You put a below average quarterback back there, and this is a 2-3 win team right now.
Kerry, what do you think about the matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens? This one's interesting on a lot of levels. One is Ben Roethlisberger not supposed to play.
Yep.
He has a rib injury, has a shoulder injury. This game has a lot of playoff implications. Right now, the Ravens are 7-2. They're leading the AFC North, but the Steelers are 6-3, only one game behind. And these guys play each other twice in the next 3 weeks.
Twice in 3 weeks. Yeah. Well, let me throw out some interesting stats about how great. And I think you might have to argue this right now is the best, most competitive rivalry in football, and one of great interest to Patriots fans too, obviously, who are more than likely going to play one, if not both, of these teams in the playoffs. Baltimore-Pittsburgh tied 7-7. The series is tied 7-7 since 2006. 10 of the last 11 games decided by one score or less.
Wow.
And 6 of the last 11, guys, decided by a field goal. Not a field goal or less. Decided by exactly 3 points.
Right. Wow.
Plus another decided by 4 points. This is a very tightly contested game by two teams that are, quite frankly, the mirror image of each other. They're built to play each other. You know, I think management, when they look at, you know, what they have to do to get to the next level each offseason, the Steelers look at the Ravens, and the Ravens look at the Steelers, and they try to match up with each other. And really, it's all right there in how tightly contested these games have been. With that said, if Ben Roethlisberger is playing, this is a Steelers victory. You know, you look at passer rating, we talk about it all the time, and it's such a great stat, people mock it, but right now it is the best predictor of victory in football. If you are better in passer rating, just looking at passer rating and nothing else, if you have the more highly rated quarterback, you have won 65% of all NFL games this year, regardless of where you play, regardless of any other factors, just that one number. And the Steelers with Big Ben clearly superior in that number, 10 points better. Joe Flacco is descended back to mediocre status in all our passing efficiency numbers. Big Ben still elite, even though he doesn't get credit for it. And this would be a Steelers victory if he's playing. But we're going to see how important he is. I don't think this team with Byron Leftwich, who hasn't started a game since 2009, I don't think the Steelers have what it takes to pull out a victory with behind Leftwich.
It's funny. You mentioned this rivalry the last decade or so, and it has been pretty even during the regular season. But the Steelers, if you look at them, they're the ones with the two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, well, you know what it comes down to, you know what it comes down to, Bill, is that quarterback. It's really as simple as that.
Yeah.
Big Ben is one of the most efficient passers in the history of football. His average per attempt is the highest of the last 52 years of NFL football. I think tied with like Steve Young. I mean, something like crazy that good. He gets the ball downfield. He makes plays. And because the Steelers are considered a kind of running team and a defensive team, he doesn't get credit for that. But the fact of the matter is he's played well in big games. He has that great Super Bowl game-winning drive against the Cardinals. The Ravens have not had that guy in Joe Flacco. They just haven't. He puts up average numbers. That's what he is. He's an average quarterback. We're all trying to get him like we did after week one against the Bengals when they won 44-13 and Flacco had that big game. And I remember Bill Enright, right? You a wacko for Flacco, my favorite line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And we all were, because we all want him to be that guy, right? We all want him to be that franchise guy that whiffs the defensive Ravens over the hump. But he's not that guy, gentlemen. He hasn't been, and he's not this year, whereas Big Ben has been. And that's why the Steelers have the two Super Bowl wins, and the Baltimore Ravens are always, fighting an uphill battle.
All right, we'll see. I don't expect Ben Roethlisberger to play this weekend.
No, I don't either. And it's disappointing, too, guys.
Yeah.
It's the big primetime games, right? We have no Roethlisberger on Sunday night, and then we have the Concussion Bowl on Monday night, where it looks like Alex Smith might play and Jay Cutler won't, but that's obviously a fluid situation. So we might be missing the three starting quarterbacks among the four teams in primetime football this week.
Oh man,
yeah, that'd be a big disappointment. All right, Carrie, big weekend coming up here in Week 11. I know you're a big college football fan, and I think you were even at a high school game last week. Something about the oldest rivalry in high
school. I was at the biggest little game in America, the little big game, Amherst Williams, which if people from, it's kind of just a small old style Division III rivalry. But guys, do you have a minute? Can I share the story?
Sure, go ahead.
So we go up to the game and I work games. I haven't gone to a game as a fan all season. And this was a chance on a Saturday to go out to a local college football game, Amherst Williams, the little big game. We just walk in, there's no tickets. All the alumni groups have tents around the field. Everyone's standing on the sidelines drinking beer. And it just was like such an old throwback to what football must have been like 100 years ago. And like the rugby team had a beer pong set up in one end zone, right outside one end zone. And,
oh, wow.
And it was, the only rule was there was no alcohol allowed in the stand. So you could stand around the field, which everyone did. And it was just kind of a great, really rustic old style football atmosphere, guys. It was really a lot of fun, to be honest. And, might try to get up to the Harvard-Yale game on Saturday. Do a little old-school football, guys. When football here in the cradle of American football here in Boston really mattered.
I was just going to ask you, so that was your last weekend game, the world's biggest little game or the world's littlest biggest game?
I call it
the
little big game.
The little big game. So this weekend you're going to watch Harvard and Yale play?
I may. We're just going to go. We might go out there. We might go up there with our friend from Tailgate 32 who are going to be in Boston. We might go check that out and talk a little football history, guys, because I don't know if football fans know this, even Patriots fans. Football, American football, was invented here in Boston. It is a Boston game. It used to be called the Boston game. Its roots are here in Boston. The oldest rivalries in America are like Boston, New England high school football rivals who all play on Thanksgiving. There is a deep, we may not be passionate like the fans down south or in the Midwest maybe, and even the atmosphere at Gillette leaves a lot to be desired in terms of its rowdiness compared to other places. But football is deeply rooted, deeply ingrained in the soil of New England, and something we should be proud of.
All right, Carrie. Well, we always look forward to having you on because we always learn something, historical facts.
Yeah, sorry for a little history rant there, Bill.
That's right. I love it. Well, you can listen to Carrie's show every week, Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Patriots.com Radio. And, of course, check out his stuff at coldheartedfootballfacts.com. The great Carrie Byrne, thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good night. Talk to you soon.
Carrie Byrne.
He is a football encyclopedia.
Yeah, he goes to all levels, Bill.
I actually watched that game on television because our PFW intern, Darren Hartwell, is the star receiver for Williams.
Oh, really? How'd he do?
He did very well. He got a lot of pub on TV. He got a touchdown catch, and he also returns kicks, and he's a really good player. He's probably the best player on the field out there.
Really? Division III, huh?
Yeah, he did really well. We were all proud of him. It was cool Darren Hartwell.
Darren Hartwell.
And it was really cool to actually see a kid that, was interning for you, like, play football, on TV. It's pretty cool.
All right, Darren Harwell. We'll
does he get any shots of carry in this corner of your screen, slugging down some
brews? I did not see him, no. I had my eyes peeled, though, because I knew he was there. I watched that game, then headed over to that BC Notre Dame Fest to see Notre Dame in person because I wanted to see what they had, and I was just kind of like, meh. I don't
not
know.
A whole lot,
wasn't
right?
that impressed.
No.
I know, and they're one step away from getting that title game.
Yeah, I was counting on Oklahoma to roll them, but that didn't work.
No. You know, Notre Dame's won a bunch of really close games, and now they're really close if they can get by Wake this week, which they will.
Wake, and then they have USC, I think.
Yeah, that's the key. But I'm telling you, one of those other two teams is going to lose a game. They're not going to have three undefeated teams. So somebody's going to lose. And if Notre Dame can stay undefeated, they're going to be in that title game. Scary.
I hope it's not Oregon.
It's going to make me want to puke.
It's going to make everyone want to puke. Imagine 40 days of hype for that.
Yeah, I just don't think that. And maybe it's just because I'm biased. I just don't think they stack up with a lot of the teams in the top 10, never mind.
I'm telling you, if you gave Oregon 40 days to prepare for Notre Dame.
Oregon would destroy Notre Dame.
Yeah, it would
just
be.
Destroy.
Quack, quack.
It would be a mess. It would just be. The game would be over in the first quarter. The
problem with Oregon is they are completely banged up.
Anthony
Thomas might play cornerback. Their backup quarterback, Brian Bennett, might play cornerback.
Yeah, but they'll have, hypothetically, if they can get through the next couple weeks, they'll have a ton of time to rest.
Yeah, they've got a tough road. Stanford is not going to be easy. They got to play their rivalry game against Oregon State, and then they got to play in the Pac-12 title game against USC probably again. So they better get healthy in a hurry. Either that or score 70 points like they do every week.
Yeah, who needs defense when you're putting up 70?
Did you hear Chip Kelly talking about time of possession the other day?
No.
He had like a press conference, and he said it basically time of possession didn't mean anything in football and that it was silly and that they lose pretty much like 99% of the time of possession battles in all the games.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to turn this back to an NFL conversation,
yeah.
Chip Kelly's going to be talking about time of possession in the NFL next
year. Oh, absolutely. I think
he's
so,
gone.
Too.
He's not going to – what I'm hearing, and I just get the sense, I think he's going to go. He's going to go pro.
It was funny. He rattled off a game from like 2008. Where they lost time of possession, like 45, it was like 45-15 or something ridiculous like that, and they won the game 60-23 or something like, and it was just ridiculous.
Well, when they score, it takes a minute and a half, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, they're a good team, man.
My boy.
But I'm telling you, he's gonna bring that crazy offense to the NFL, and I think it's gonna happen next year.
Who do you think, Redskins?
That would be a fit. Yeah, I mean, with RG3, he can do all that stuff that Mariota does.
Shanahan's on his way out
that early, huh?
What?
He could go coach Cam Newton too. Who knows?
I think Cam Newton could be a possibility with Ron Rivera.
He needs He needs a quarterback like that, though. You need a guy that can at least get outside of the pocket, and
right.
You know, maybe not necessarily, you know, run like an RG3. I mean. When you have that sort of offense, your options are kind of limited because you can't have, like, Tom Brady as your quarterback. You know what I mean? And there's only so many Cam Newtons and RG3s out there. So I think his landing spots, if he's going to implement that offense, are kind of limited.
Well, he's got to implement some kind of offense like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's his bread and butter. That's what he knows.
You know where Chip Kelly's from, right?
He's from, like, New Hampshire or something.
Yep.
Didn't he coach at UNH? Way back?
I feel like
he was on the UNH staff at some point.
He might have been.
Back at UMass. I feel like he was part of those staffs. If you have the Google machine up there.
The Google machine. Well, he started at Columbia,
okay.
Coaching-wise. He went to New Hampshire. Started at Columbia. Went to Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
Then, yep, offensive coordinator at New Hampshire from 1999 to 2006.
Yeah, so he was there when UNH was... See, UNH had some epic battles with my alma mater, UMass, back when UMass was a Division I AA program.
Right.
And they were both in the CAA, and they were kind of the two perennial powers of the CAA. And that conference would come down to the UMass-UNH game pretty much every year.
Hmm.
And so I remember, they had some great players. Speaking of, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket and make plays to run his offense. The UNH quarterbacks, back when he was the coordinator, could all do that. They were all running quarterbacks. So it's funny how that has kind of followed him wherever he's gone.
Well, I'm telling you, man, I think it's a real possibility, especially if they get to a title game and win it. I mean, Oregon still has some possible sanctions kind of like black cloud kind of hanging over the program, which really hasn't come down from the NCAA yet. So he's got some reasons to leave there, man. And he'd be a real interesting hire in the NFL. I don't know if it would work in the NFL at all. There's not a great track record of college coaches that come into the NFL and dominate, especially with a gimmicky offense like this.
Yeah.
Right.
But like you said, it'd be interesting.
It would definitely be breaking new ground. I mean, if he ran that offense as is in the NFL, it would be definitely something that most teams in this league haven't seen.
Well, I mean, look at the bad teams in this league, right? I mean,
Needs a coach next year?
What's that?
Probably
Philadelphia needs a coach.
Several teams, yeah. And Vic can get outside the pocket.
Vic's gone. They're not going to.
He's just old and concussed.
Well,
broken.
They're on the hook for like $15 million if they have him on the roster February 1st. Or
okay,
whatever,
yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay,
no, he's gone no matter who the coach is. Like you said, maybe Washington,
Carolina, Cleveland.
I mean, St. Louis isn't going to get rid of Fisher, obviously. They just got started with it.
No.
How about Ryan Fitzpatrick running that offense in Buffalo?
Isn't this
fleet of foot?
Who's it? Is it Mularkey in Jacksonville? Isn't it his first year though?
No, he's in Tennessee.
No, it's not Mularkey. Who's the heck's the Jacksonville coach then?
Jacksonville coach is I'm sorry, Mike Munchak is in Tennessee. Mularkey is in Jacksonville.
Oh,
yeah.
Correct. Boom.
Yeah.
KC dropping some knowledge.
There you go.
How about the Chiefs?
The Chefs. They just need a quarterback out there to run that type of thing. Because Sandcastle's not running around. He gets killed.
Sandcastle?
That's what I used to call him. It's my boy. Looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does.
No, I don't like that.
Agree to disagree. But I think there's going to be a fair amount of teams. I think we can all agree on the fact there's going to be a fair amount of teams that are going to need a coach.
A lot of teams.
But would you both agree with me or know that, you know, if he's going to bring that gimmick offense to the league, that he needs a Cam Newton or an RG3 or a Marcus Mariota? Like, he can't have a Tom Brady or, a stand-in pocket passer. You know, part of that offense, most of that offense, is predicated on the ability of the quarterback to get on the edge and make plays.
Of course.
And it's just like, I just can't imagine a guy like Brady. I mean, I can sort of imagine. Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers doing it? I sort of could.
Well,
he's mobile.
Listen, here's the good thing about that. Bill Belichick's not going anywhere, neither is Mike McCarthy.
No. But I'm just thinking in my head, I'm trying to think of like some of the elite quarterbacks in the league that, you know, possibly maybe could run it, and I just can't think of a whole lot.
There's no elite quarterback in the league right now that is a proficient runner.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is good. He's athletic. Andrew Luck is good. He's athletic.
Athletic, yes.
RG3, he's not. RG3 is a good passer. He's a great rusher.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, the same thing. But other than those four quarterbacks.
Jake Locker's pretty mobile. He can get outside.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, there
Russell
you go.
Wilson.
This is another fit.
Yeah.
But I mean, Pete Carroll, I don't think is going any. That team's having a pretty successful season.
What about the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, Tony Romo is another one that popped into my mind of a guy that runs around a lot and makes
plays.
Yeah,
he can run. They might be looking for a new coach this year.
That's true. That's a valid point.
What about the New Orleans Saints?
I could not see Breeze doing it. I'll tell you that much. He's one of the guys that I crossed off my mind.
I'll tell you what. Darren Sproles reminds me a lot of the Oregon running backs right now.
Yeah, they should just line up Sproles in the Wildcat and let him be like an option quarterback.
He would last 1 week.
Yeah, I know. He'd die.
It's interesting. I mean, you're gonna hear his name an awful lot, especially once the Oregon regular season is over in between their final game and the bowl game. That's when the NFL, that's when all the rumors start swirling. Chris Mortensen.
So you're going out on the ledge here, Todd, and saying that he's going to be a coach in the NFL next year.
Yes.
That's your hot take.
My hot take is that, absolutely. He's going to actively seek an NFL position once they finish their season.
So everyone heard it here first.
And I'll tell you what. Don't be surprised if he's engaged in talks prior to their bowl game. That happens all the time in college football, Coaches can't help themselves, and they start talking to the NFL as they're preparing for their potential national title game for Oregon, potentially, and it throws a wrench into things. How about that?
Do we think he takes a job as an offensive coordinator or only as a head coach?
No way.
Only as a head coach.
Yeah, I couldn't
way
see
he
him.
Leaves.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Why would he do that? No, he will.
Because then if he's like this, if he's an offensive coordinator and he's working under a guy – that, the guy ahead of him, on top of him, the head coach might, only give him, you know, might put restrictions on what he can do offensively. I think if he's going to, you know, move into the NFL, I agree with Todd, he's going to need to bring that offense with him and everything about that offense with him, because that's his shtick. And I think in order to do that, you need to be the head guy.
He needs a desperate owner who needs some buzz, because
Shaka Khan, my boy.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
He's desperate.
He is pretty desperate, because he's going to need to overcommit to him. Chip Kelly needs to run the shots. He won't land in Dallas. Jerry Jones, you know, he needs a puppet. And I don't think Chip Kelly's going to be his puppet. I don't think Jerry Jones would want to install that crazy offense anyway. So, well, it'll be interesting.
What if the Jaguars move to, like, L.A. and Khan needs to make a splash? That'd be interesting. Cool. Right, Chip Kelly.
You better find a quarterback that can run that offense.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing that's really that I'm really struggling to figure out, Todd, is, you know, if your prediction's going to come true, I'm trying to think of spots, because that quarterback, there needs to be a marriage there between quarterback and Chip Kelly. So it'll be interesting.
What do you think, Bill? You've been quiet on this one.
Bill's got no takes on this, man.
All I know is that my boy, DeAnthony Thomas, better wake up. The last couple of games he's been relatively quiet, but it's good news because Kenyon Barner, my other college fantasy football player, has been looking pretty good.
College fantasy? You play college fantasy?
Absolutely.
Todd is the king when it comes to college fantasy football, and I follow his words like it's the Bible.
Okay. That's why you guys are a good marriage. Bill's
How
got
about
the pro fantasy. And...
How about this, guys? You ready for this?
Go.
Chip Kelly's quarterback. How about Colin Klein?
There you go. That's a good one.
Oh, he drafts somebody?
Yeah, that's a real good one. So he
that?
Would need. He
so
would
who
need...
has the number one pick next year?
It'll
Chiefs?
Be. It'll be like the Jags. Dude.
Yeah, but Colin Klein, you can get him in like the third or fourth round. You don't need to draft him in the first round. He's not a pro quarterback unless you're running some crazy system like Chip Kelly does.
You're right, Bill. Though, like two desperate owners could be like the Chiefs or the Jags, and you hire him, right? And you give him the reins, and then he picks Klein like early in the draft where he's going to get picked. Like that, I could see that. I could see that happening.
He won't be picked early in the draft.
No?
No. Colin Klein,
even if he wins the Heisman?
He's a mid to late round. He is a college quarterback.
What if he wins the Heisman, though?
Doesn't matter. Who cares? Look at all the Nebraska quarterbacks that have won the Heisman.
But wasn't Tebow like a second round pick?
First round
pick?
Yeah. I mean, Thomas 24th, Tim Tebow 26th.
How about Tebow? There's your man.
Have Tebow run the offense. That would be a story.
That Tebow and Jacksonville back in Florida.
Oh, it's all coming together right
See?
Now.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan stroking his handlebar mustache.
Oh, my God.
We figured it all out. In what, 10 minutes? We've got it all figured out.
That's it.
And he drafts Colin Klein as a backup. There you go.
Someone should hire us.
An epiphany.
As our NFL GM.
We just solved all the Jacksonville problems.
Yeah. Get Chaka on the phone.
Until they go, like, you know, 3-13.
Hey, we did it for the story.
And like you said, could you imagine,
Tebow, you know, running that, you know, spread and, like, MJD just running wild on people?
MJD, like, 40 years old?
Whatever. He's not that old. How old is he?
No, he's not.
I still think of him as an elite running back. I mean, he's pretty good.
He's healthy, sure. He's pretty absolutely. Good. I'm kidding. Well, he's getting close to 30, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He probably is. I just still think of him in... I don't know. I still put him in you know, that top tier, I guess.
Well, yeah, when he's right. I mean, he's definitely top tier. I mean, think of the team he's on.
Yeah, he's on a team full of Jags. Get it?
Get it. You got to love when the producer says the joke and
then plays his own drum.
Got to tee myself up. Marching to the beat of my own drum.
And I'm wrong. MJD's only 27.
So he's not that old. A
couple years.
No.
If I'm the Jags, like, there's no way I bring him back this year. I just let him get healthy.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what they should do.
But I felt like people are, like, waiting for him to come back, and it's like, why would you even bother? Like, just give him the time to get right. You know?
There you go, man.
Let him be healthy for Chip Kelly.
Tell you what, if Chip Kelly does come to the NFL, he's going to need about 5 quarterbacks because they're going to get injured so often in this offense. So he's going to need to collect Tebow, Vic.
That'd be great. The first team that's 5 quarterbacks deep, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're going to have
Tebow, Vic, and Colin Klein. That's it right there. Vic's going to be a free agent. Tebow won't stick around, and then Colin Klein, you draft him.
Yeah, see? That's it. We got to figure it out.
It's that simple. All right, we are not back next Thursday because it is Thanksgiving. We will be back next Tuesday with our Fantasy Football Champ Show. We had a lot of fun today. Got a little bit off track, but we had fun doing it, and that's the most important thing.
We had a lot of good debates, though, too.
A lot of good debates. I loved it, and we will continue doing that next week and, of course, throughout the course of the year. Big matchup for the Patriots this weekend against the Colts. Both teams are 6-3. Kevin, any last words before we take off?
Nope. Happy Thanksgiving. If, you know, those of you that listen to Football Nation, don't tune into the fantasy show. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
All right. Very nice. Todd, what do you got?
How about I got to give a shout out to our man Olivier in Brazil, sending us pictures of girls in bikinis from the Brazilian seaside.
That's why it's awesome.
I mean, that is, love Olivier. You can't get any better than that.
All right. Want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We will be back. Todd and I and Kevin will be back next Tuesday for our Fantasy Football Champ Show. But enjoy the games this weekend. Good luck in your fantasy matchups and have fun in Week 11. Thanks for listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.